From Springfield, this is State Week in Review, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
In the Democratic Party and all across Illinois, we respect our workers. We understand that there are some who do the hardest jobs in our society. And that's why we intend to raise the minimum wage in Illinois.
There's no mass teacher layoffs. There's no tax increase. According to Governor Quinn, you must not be telling the truth. Are you telling us the truth right now, Senator?
Well, my first response is, sorry to disappoint you, Senator, that there's no layoffs and there's no tax increase.
The members are leery of continuing to make decisions that are going to be difficult to explain to their constituents. I think this session needed to be sort of a maintenance session and get us through to the next General Assembly.
The voters have spoken. The voters have asked for divided government. For the first time in many years, we'll have a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature. Just a few minutes ago, I called Speaker Madigan. Understand? I called President Cullerton, and I said to them, this is an opportunity for us to work together.
A few sounds of politics in Illinois in 2014, including Bruce Rauner, the governor-elect, on election night. We opened with Governor Pat Quinn talking to supporters early in the campaign and had some Illinois lawmakers sandwiched in there for some legislative debate. And come to find out, Bruce Rauner didn't call those legislative leaders at the time. Had some staff members call somebody's voicemail or something like that. We'll look back at 2014 on today's State Week. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Joining us, Charlie Wheeler, Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Amanda Venicky, State House Bureau Chief for WUIS and Illinois Public Radio. Brian Mackey, reporter for WUIS and Illinois Issues. And our guest, Mike Riopel, State Capitol reporter for the Daily Herald. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, Bill.
And I appreciate you dressing up for the performance today. While it's early in January, we are still technically in the long New Year's weekend, so we will look back at 2014. Amanda Venicky, story of the year to you.
Story of the year? It's got to be Bruce Rauner's election. I mean, 2014 was basically the year of the campaign and all of the huge money that went into it, the nasty ads. And so the outcome of that, Illinois' first Republican governor in a dozen years and the breakup of Democratic control of state government, that's my pick.
And adding to that, I'm just going to get each panelist's thoughts on those particular top stories. Charlie Wheeler, what's your nugget related to that particular topic?
Well, the thing that I found most interesting about the campaign was the fact that House Speaker Michael Madigan did not lose a single one of the 71 seats that the House Democrats controlled going into the November election. All his targets were reelected. The open seats that had been in Democratic hands maintained their Democratic color. And so as a result, Governor-elect Rauner will have to deal with a legislature in which Democrats have veto-proof majorities in both the House and the Senate.
Mike Riopel.
Well, I think that's got to be it, because most of everything that happened in 2014 was related to the election and influenced by the election. Everything that happens in 2015 will be as a result of it. Like Charlie said, all those Democrats won in part because the budget that was passed in Springfield didn't have to have them taking a tough vote to increase taxes. Everything that was done here was influenced by the election to come, so that certainly would be the story of the year.
And Brian Mackey.
Yeah, on the topic of the election, I think it was a victory of what I would call sort of Washington-style campaigning here in Illinois. I think we've been a little bit spoiled in the past in Illinois, especially just in terms of the media being able to talk to politicians somewhat. We saw a little bit with Rod Blagojevich, although he would still, talk off the cuff sometimes. But in this campaign cycle, both Bruce Rauner and Pat Quinn were extremely robotic, disciplined, did not say anything they didn't want to say. And it was, you know, just tremendous amount of television advertising on both sides. It's a record-breaking, I mean, you can't even, there are not enough adjectives to describe how record-breaking the spending was in this campaign and how nasty it got in television ads. And I think that, you know, that sort of Washington-style politics may be become a permanent feature here in Springfield.
It was a brutal Republican primary. Obviously, it did not affect the Republicans' chances to win the governor's mansion. But certainly, Dan Rutherford, the state treasurer, outgoing state treasurer, took a beating in a campaign where people thought he'd do better, Amanda Vinicky.
Yeah, you know, that really is one of the big stories, that this longtime Illinois politician and somebody who'd long had his eyes on the governor's office was, you know, swept off that. And it was strange, you know. I mean, you had Rutherford coming out in a press conference saying, you're going to hear something bad, which, of course, raises everybody's eyebrows. And so drew even more attention to a story with an eventual lawsuit from somebody who had called himself a friend of Rutherford's and a former employee who went on then to work for a Democrat in the city of Chicago, accusing Rutherford of basically, you know, sexual harassment. Didn't really see anything come to fruition with it, but it knocked Rutherford. And at the same time, also, the governor's race, you saw this upsurge of union support for Republican because there was such labor fear of Bruce Rauner. That's something that we'll for sure be watching throughout 2015. But Senator Kirk Dillard is no more. He, you know, lost the race for the Republican nomination and therefore is no longer kind of this figure in Springfield that he had been for decades.
Now he gets to be a figure in Chicago transportation as he has a job with who's he working for?
He is chairman of the RTA, so his job, his paid post will be still going back to his law firm that he'd maintained throughout much of his legislative career, but he will be chairman, and so we'll see him pop up in Springfield from time to time still.
After the election, we saw the death of Comptroller Judy Barr Topinka, the former state treasurer, former state senator, former gubernatorial candidate, and former member of the Illinois House, passed away from the time between the time of the election and the time of swearing in for another term.
Yeah, Topinka was a unique figure in Illinois politics. She was a Republican who managed to stay relevant even as the state switched over to being pretty solidly Democratic. She held statewide office, as you said, as the treasurer. She even recently took a position very strongly in favor of same-sex marriage, even showing up at the bill signing and getting great applause there. She did run for governor against Rod Blagojevich in 2006 and was defeated, but bounced back and became, as you said, state controller. Her passing set off quite a few rounds of speculation in the media about what might happen because she did pass away after the election, but before the, you know, she had won re-election but had not yet been sworn in. So would Governor Quinn appoint somebody to fill the entire 4 years and slide a Democrat into that office? Would Bruce Rauner sue? Would there be a big fight? Turns out Governor Quinn appointed sort of a placeholder, his longtime budget director and confidant, Jerry Sturmer, to hold it just until the swearing in. And then Bruce Rauner will be able to make the appointment he wants after that.
And Amanda Vinicky, it also means Illinois lawmakers are going to come back to try to set up an election for this particular seat 2 years from now.
Yeah, kicking off the new year with the very last of Governor Pat Quinn. He had made 2014 all about the minimum wage. Instead, Illinois begins the new year without any sort of increase except in the city of Chicago, where aldermen did pass a hike. Instead of a special session on that, though, lawmakers will be coming back to debate a special election for comptroller. We still have not gotten any signal from House Speaker Mike Madigan, despite his being head of the Democratic Party of Illinois, whether he's going to support that. Most people believe that this is something that would be to Democrats' advantage, given that 2016 will be a presidential election year.
Another issue in this past year, Mike Riopel, is a lower court ruled unconstitutional the Illinois pension reform law that would have changed the pensions the way they work for state employees, state retirees, and that's headed to the state Supreme Court.
That's right. It was the whole pension issue was a big issue in the past few years. Then it was a big issue this year as it started to wind its way through the court system. Now that the Supreme Court is kind of queued up to rule in 2015, it'll be a big story this year. Could be a big story again in 2016. The Supreme Court, if they knock down this particular law, sends lawmakers and Governor Rauner back to the drawing board to see if there's something they want to do or something they can do, depending on the ruling, may shut down, you know, future attempts to try and get this big debt under control. So we will almost certainly be talking about this again at the year-end show at the end of next year, I would guess.
And the big issue there will be whether the high court in Illinois would accept the argument that the state's budget situation is so severe that we've got to break the glass and get that fire extinguisher out to fix the budget problems. Charlie Wheeler, you don't think that will be happening, though.
I would be surprised, because that's an argument that has not really prevailed in other venues. And if you look at it, the only urgency is the fact that lawmakers don't want to make cuts or don't want to raise more revenue. It's not like the state has no other options. Just as an example, our income tax rates are lower than most of our neighbors. We tax fewer services than all of our neighboring states. We don't tax retirement income. And so there's a lot of other options, which I would suspect, were I a justice, I would say, before I violate the clear language of the Constitution, I'm going to ask you guys to maybe do something a little difficult and for once take a courageous stand on this whole situation of we want to spend all this money for all these programs, but we don't want to pay for them.
Well, let me get in there, Charlie. I think you bring up what legislators didn't do, and that's another hallmark of 2014, the lingering budget question, something that we'll be following for sure with Rauner as governor all throughout this next year. Which of these structural changes that he's promised he's going to make to the Illinois budget will be included in that list that you gave? But in 2014, you know, this budget that legislators passed that, as Rauner puts it, relies on gimmicks, and even I think Democrats would agree with him on that one.
Well, yeah, and that was no news, because Republican lawmakers at the time called out the Democrats, and as you say, even some Democrats admitted, yeah, this is not a good budget. If you recall, the House passed basically three versions. They passed one version based on Governor Quinn's recommended budget, which included revenues from continuation of the current tax rates, which a couple of days ago dropped back down. And they also passed a second version based on, okay, here's how much money is available, and this is all that we can spend. And then they opted for a third version where they magically came up with more money. They consciously decided not to fully fund the costs of some agencies, and they kind of cobbled something together that apparently everybody but Bruce Rauner knew was a phony baloney deal.
And Bruce
Rauner. And so 2015, starting with this, with people getting more money in their pockets through the expiration or rollback of that income tax increase.
And Just in this past week, Bruce Rauner did kind of release what appeared to be a memo, but kind of a press release, Amanda Venicky, just talking about the situation of the state budget.
Really a reiteration of what we've heard from him. He says, you know, I'm not sure it's as much surprise, but it's saying, gosh, this is so much worse than I thought it was, and really placing a lot of blame on past General Assemblies and governors for what he termed sins of the past. And really what this is setting up groundwork for pain to come in the years ahead. And he is trying to prove why it needs to happen and perhaps shove off some of the responsibility as well.
You're listening to State Week in Review. Just ahead, more discussion of 2014.
Support for State Week in Review comes from Illinois Issues Magazine, a public affairs magazine deciphering Springfield legislation and the state of the state. More information at illinoisissues.uis.edu.
This is State Week in Review. Our panel on State Week, Charlie Wheeler, Amanda Venicky, and Brian Mackey, along with the Daily Herald's Mike Riopel. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Well, something we saw in 2014, you would say, I guess, in one sense, It was boring, turn of the screw, but on some exciting and dramatic issues and changes in Illinois policy. And what we saw happen in 2014 was the forward movement through the bureaucratic process of medical marijuana and fracking for two instances.
Yeah, forward movement through the bureaucratic process. There is a headline for you. But no, you're right, because we kind of expected that when these things were, these are products of the 2013 legislative year, and we kind of thought they would take off. The medical marijuana is a four-year pilot program, so the clock's ticking there. As far as I know, nobody has yet been able to legally obtain marijuana for medical purposes in Illinois, because those regulations are still they're still working out the administrative
licenses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and there's a very convoluted system where you have to have licenses for growers as well as sellers, and they have to put up a lot of money in order to do that. And all the same sort of thing with fracking. There were big fights, despite the kumbayas that were sung by the environmental and the business community when this legislation passed. There was very bitter fights over the rulemaking and the administrative process that would let that happen. So both of those are still ongoing, things we'll be watching for in 2015. One thing we did see happen, though, was same-sex marriage, which was signed into law late into 2013. Started happening in Illinois even earlier than we expected it, based on some federal court rulings that there were some sick couples that wanted to get married before one partner passed away. And so that has been going strong here in Illinois.
And yet another of those particular types of issues, concealed carry, allowing concealed carry in the state, was one of those where this year they got it rolling and off the ground after the law had been passed in another year.
Yeah, that moved quite a bit faster than the medical marijuana situation. Another product of the 2013 session, people early this year started getting their permits, started taking the classes. I think they're, you know, maybe more than a dozen hours of class you have to take to get a permit. So there are people carrying concealed weapons in Illinois now, but people still waiting on those medical marijuana licenses. And even when you hear about those, you know, people are going to get those dispensary licenses here in the next couple weeks. But then the growers have to grow it and give it to the dispensary. So it's going to be even, you know, a little while here to wait before you can get medical marijuana in Illinois.
So, Charlie Wheeler, you could say about those issues that are emerging throughout 2014 that they are some significant issues and represent significant policy changes for the state of Illinois over several years ago.
Oh, yeah. I would say that is definitely the case. You look at something like same-sex marriage. I remember as a young reporter back in Abe Lincoln's time when they first brought up the notion of maybe we should say it's illegal to discriminate against people based on sexual orientation. And the bill was hooted down in the Illinois House. I was embarrassed at the behavior of the lawmakers. And now you move forward 40 years and we've become one of the states that recognize same-sex marriage. Or you look at concealed carry. That was a fight that went on. It was an issue at the Constitutional Convention. And now we finally join the rest of the states where we allow concealed carry. Over the course of time, if you watch this stuff long enough, you see this real dramatic change compared to what it was back in the day, as they say. If you've been just watching the last couple of years, it's not that dramatic. But those are significant policy changes. The use of medical marijuana, for example, that was a bill that Lou Lang sponsored for I don't know how many years before it finally got passed. There are all of these issues that the legislature addresses, and the process moves very slowly, but ultimately, on most of them, there is some resolution.
As we get ready to welcome 2015, we thought we'd take a few minutes to reflect on some of the voices that came up in the news in the past year in Illinois politics and government. Most of the action was in the campaign for governor, which, as we've talked about, Bruce Rauner became the first Republican to win that office since the late 1990s. Here are just a few of the memorable and listenable moments from 2014.
If you're a Democrat or an independent, there's no action coming up on your side of the ballot on March 18th. Come on over to ours and save your state.
I'm the only one up here who's run for governor against Pat Quinn. Yeah, I lost by a few thousand votes, But I went from 150,000 votes in a primary to nearly 1.8 million votes in a general.
The special interest groups that make their money from government, the government union bosses, the trial lawyers and others, they've bought the politicians in Springfield. They've bought the Democrats, and unfortunately, many of the Republicans too.
I'm a reasonable Republican. That's why I win. A Republican that can win in this not blue but dark purple state and been able to do it in Chicago, the suburbs, and downstate, I want your vote to be the Republican nominee for governor.
It's been horrible for my family. It's been horrible for my staff. And it's been horrible for my friends. That said, I'm looking forward to vindicating myself. I'm going to tell you up front, that is going to happen.
Pat Quinn has been governor for 5 years. And he wants to be governor for 5 more years. No way.
I may not have 9 mansions. I have 1 house. I'm not a billionaire and never will be. I'm not part of the 1% and never will be there. I'm not even part of the 0.01%.
I just want to state that the House Republicans have consistently stated that we will not support the extension of the temporary tax increase.
When we had, you know, these giant blizzards during the winter, people wanted IDOT out there plowing the roads. When we had tornadoes come through some of our communities, people wanted, you know, someone to come out there and help rescue them. They don't want to hear, well, gee, we don't have enough money because someone didn't want to take a hard political vote.
This has been a difficult session. Maybe a very difficult session. Over the last few years, nothing seems to be simple. Nothing seems to be easy. It's just one difficult, complicated issue after another.
Unfortunately, under Governor Quinn, Illinois has been one of the worst-run states in America. We have rampant misspending of taxpayer money, massive waste in the system.
The folks who are millionaires and billionaires always want to shift the burden onto everyday people, onto everyday hardworking people who have to pay a tax on their garbage pickup. That's not right.
Are you ready for a new direction? Are you ready to bring back Illinois?
I don't believe in throwing in the towel if that many votes are being counted. Never, ever yield to a result until all the votes are in. Thank you very much.
But it's clear that we do not have enough votes to win the election, and therefore we respect the result. We respect what the voters did yesterday.
I think we can take great pride in knowing that our laws do not discriminate against any loving couples that choose to form a new family and take on life together. It's a beautiful thing. And I just want to end by noting that I am available to be a flower girl, and I'll even wave the fee.
And that's the late Judy Barr Topinka among some of the voices that made news in 2014. And just prior to that, we heard the concession remarks from Pat Quinn. Amanda Vinicke, I just want to get your take on Pat Quinn. What kind of legacy and imprint does he leave in this chapter of his career when he held the governor's mansion for, five plus years?
It was a tough year for Pat Quinn. His image as a reformer tarnished with an investigation by the feds into an anti-violence program and hiring at the Department of Transportation. And further, as he's about to leave the governor's office, he, you know, made an appointment that raised a lot of eyebrows, putting his former campaign manager in a high-paying post at a state facilities sports authority board that he doesn't really seem to have a resume to be built for. Nonetheless, Quinn leaving, I think, with many, you know, kudos for taking over the helm from Rod Blagojevich at a time when there was a lot of distrust in Illinois government and really dealing with some hard situations, signing into law that temporary income tax increase that, you know, helped get Illinois on better fiscal footing, I think many people would argue, given the high pension debt and also who knows what will happen with the pension law, but nonetheless, getting that overhaul in, despite it being against what unions, traditional Democratic allies, had wanted.
going to end-of-year notes from the field, and it's kind of a wild card day. You can tell us what you thought was an important nugget from 2014, an important nugget of the last week, and any predictions for 2015. And we'll start with the Daily Herald's Mike Riopel.
Well, I think there are a lot of differences between what happens here in Springfield and in Congress. But one of the similarities looking ahead is that you'll have a legislature controlled by one party and an executive from the other. And so will we see a fair amount of compromise here between the Democratic legislature and the Republican governor, or will it turn into a Washington-style stifling gridlock that we see in Congress, where you have a Republican Congress and a Democratic president who flirt with government shutdowns all the time and you know, can't agree on lots of things? It could go either way. It could be something in between, but and we're not sure how it'll go. But that's, you know, that's one model we can look to, is that's one way it could go, or it could go a more of a compromise route.
Brian Mackey, and also Brian, put together that sound montage we heard just a few moments ago. Thanks for your time on that, Brian. Brian, what is your note from the field?
Yeah, I just think it was a perfect little emblem of the entire Rauner campaign operation. He is going to have Toby Keith headline an inaugural concert. This is instead of an traditional inaugural ball. And everything in the Rauner campaign was so tightly scripted and careful. When he had his transition committee, everybody came out either wearing a red dress or a red tie. So Toby Keith, of course, known as a very staunch Republican sort of singer, courtesy of the red, white, and blue, American soldier, shocking y'all, some of his songs. And so I think it's yet again just another bit of little message management we're seeing from Rauner, and I think we're going to continue to see that indefinitely.
And a follow-up on that, we also have Illinois blues legend Buddy Guy playing that show, but there is this opening act of lawmakers, a trio of lawmakers, two Republicans and a Democrat, who kind of have a Jimmy Buffett air about them. Any critical light you'd like to shine on that?
You know, as a former A&E editor, I'm probably just going to abstain from commenting. But it's called the Boat Drink Caucus. I've never actually seen them, Amanda. I think
they're frequent performers if you get out and about the capital city, and they really do appear to love what they do.
And Amanda, while you're chomping on your cheeseburger in paradise there, your note from the field.
Yeah, just wanting to revisit in 2014 some things that I think could pop up again. The election wasn't just, you know, Quinn and Rauner, but also we had attempts at some constitutional amendments, some big ones that did not make it, to change how legislative districts are drawn. And also Rauner had an effort to institute term limits in Illinois. Neither of those made it, but Rauner promises he'll be back with term limits and that redistricting initiative is also continuing. So those will be some things that everybody should have on their radar.
And last but not least, Charlie Wheeler.
Well, I think for Chicago baseball fans, 2015 is going to be a time of promise. The offseason deals that the Cubs and the Sox made have people even talking about maybe a crosstown World Series. And as a longtime White Sox fan, I'm not going to say how many years, but some of my early heroes were people like Minnie Minoso and Billy Pierce. So that gives you Nellie Fox. That gives you an idea. I think that's great. On the other hand, as also a St. Louis Cardinal fan, I'm worried about what's going to happen with those Cubs, particularly with John Lester on the mound.
Well, that'll give us something to mull over. That's our time for this edition of State Week. Thanks to Mike Riopel of the Daily Herald for joining us. Production assistance for our program today provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.
You've been listening to State Week in Review, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week in Review is produced in the state capitol by public radio station WUIS. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.